Well, as you can imagine, this talk has been at the forefront of my mind this week, so it's going to be brilliant. It's on grace, so that's good. We're starting a new series called Parables of Grace, and we're going to look at the parables that Jesus told that kind of reveal the grace of God to us. I have got these ideas from a book called The Parables of Grace, funnily enough, by a guy called Robert Capone, I think his name is, that's how you say it. He's a theologian, American. So yeah, let's hope this makes sense. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to read the parable of the lost sheep in Matthew 18, and that's verse 10 to 14, and it goes like this. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for that one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. It's one of those parables that we all, you know, heard in assembly, isn't it? It's just one of those classic ones where I've got a picture book at home about this lost sheep parable. It's a good one. I love it. The context that Jesus tells this story in is this. He had just told his disciples that he was going to die, which for them would have been not a good thing, because all their hopes were in Jesus being the Messiah that would come and save their people, Israel. But Jesus is beginning to say, I'm going to die, guys. And it's kind of his first clue that his work is going to be accomplished not by winning, but by losing. It was this topsy-turvy world of the kingdom that he was going to bring about salvation, hope, restoration through losing. He was going to be the biggest loser and the biggest outsider of all. But the disciples didn't like that kind of idea. And so they started, in reaction to that, talking about who would be the greatest in the kingdom when Jesus set up his rule. This is the context that Jesus tells this story in. They start talking about how who's going to sit on the right hand, you know, of Jesus when he wins. And in that moment, Jesus kind of understands that they're talking about this, and he brings a child into the middle of their conversation. And he says, whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. And he talks about being great in the kingdom. If you want to be great in the kingdom, be like this child. Now, in those times, kind of being a child was being a loser, was being an outsider. There was nothing. You weren't seen as important. But he was saying that whoever receives someone like this, let me read this to you. He says, he who is the least among you is the one who is great. And so this is, I guess, more evidence that Jesus is preoccupied with the notion that the work of his being Messiah will be accomplished by winning and not and by losing and not winning, sorry. And then he tells the parable of the lost sheep. It's also called, the parable of the good shepherd. Which is interesting because, if you think about it, in terms of being a shepherd, this shepherd isn't very good. If you were going to shepherd school, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't say, if you lose a sheep, a good idea is to leave the 99 other sheep so that they can sort of wander off and go and look for the one. If you went to shepherd school, they would tell you, if you lose one sheep, don't worry about it. Okay? It's just one sheep, okay? Your priority is the whole. Your priority is keeping as many sheep safe as possible. But Jesus is saying in this parable, this shepherd would leave the 99 to being vulnerable, to being lost themselves, and he would go and find the lost sheep. It's not a good strategy for shepherds. But in that, I think we capture something of the heart of God, the heart of Jesus. This is a quote. He implies, it seems, that even if all 100 sheep should get lost, it would not be a problem for this bizarrely good shepherd, because he is first and foremost in the business of finding the lost. Lostness is exactly his cup of tea. Lostness is exactly his cup of tea. It's amazing, isn't it, that God would go after the lost, the ones that are almost worthless. A lost sheep is pretty much a dead sheep. If you're lost as a sheep, you're in a bad way. But it is exactly the condition, the lost, the dead, the last, the least. That's the heart of God, to go after those that are dead, those that are lost. It's amazing that the sheep did not do anything to be found. He just got completely lost. And I think it's amazing that it was the heart of the shepherd to make the first move. It was the heart of the shepherd not to be like, right, I'm going to wait and see if this sheep manages to find its way back. I'm going to wait to see the sheep, if the sheep can remember, you know, that we are in the field next to the big gate with the tree. I'm going to see if this sheep will turn and come back to me. I wonder how often in church we're told that to receive the forgiveness of God, we need to turn. We need to repent. When in this story there is no repentance. But the shepherd goes to find the lost sheep in his lostness and bring him home. That's the grace of God. That he would find us in our lostness, in our deadness, when we don't know even how to turn back, when we don't even know how to be found. The grace of God finds us. It is our sins, Capone says, not our goodness, that most commends us to the grace of God. These parables of lostness, therefore, are not stories designed to convince us that if we will wind ourselves up to some acceptable level of moral and or spiritual improvement, God will then forgive us. Rather, they are parables about God's determination to move before we do. In short, to make lostness and death the only tickets we need for the supper of the Lamb. God finds us. So we hear a lot, don't we, that, oh, I found God. Now that's a great expression, but this parable perhaps more clearly shows it us that it's God that finds us. He makes the first move. And that is the grace of God. Not that we need to try and find a way of getting God to forgive us. But that while we were still dead in our trespasses and sins, Paul says, Christ died for us. So what does repentance really mean? I think it's discovering that we have a God who finds us. It's realizing that we have a God who passionately pursues us. The root word for repentance means to change your mind, not to grovel, but to realize that we have a God of grace. He's made the first move. He's the one who finds us in our lostness. He's the one who finds us in our brokenness. Maybe you feel like you've been found, but perhaps there's things in your life, situations in your life where you still feel lost, where you still feel broken. That same God is the God who finds us in our brokenness. He comes to us. He comes to us. So the first part of this story is about lostness and about the fact that we have a God who loves to find the lost, who loves to meet us, to pursue us. And the second part of this story is about joy. Once the good shepherd finds the sheep, he says, I tell you the truth, he is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. I wonder, sometimes we have a picture of God as an angry, judgmental Father. But this parable paints an entirely different picture. It paints a picture of a God who finds a sheep who's utterly lost, can't do anything about his lostness. And when he finds the lost sheep, his reaction isn't, "Why on earth did you get lost? Why did you run away? Why didn't you stay with the fold like you're supposed to?" His reaction is pure delight. His reaction is joy and celebration. We've got a God who will pursue us when we are utterly lost. We don't know how to come back. And when he finds us, he is full of joy. And when we realize that, I think we begin to understand what repentance means. We realize that we have a God who is utterly for us and is overjoyed to find us, no matter where we've wandered to. We have a God who is ready to take us to the party. Let's pray. Father, thank you that it seems that the condition that you've chosen for us to be invited to your party is simply that lostness, brokenness, not knowing how to return. God, I thank you that you are the God that pursues us and finds us in our lost state, finds us in our brokenness, finds us in our confusion, and in that state rejoices over us and takes us back, carries us, carries us on your shoulders. Thank you, God, that there is, that salvation from you is effortless on our part. It is by the grace of God that we are saved. And Lord, would you help us to grasp what grace really is? Thank you that we're found in you. And Lord, where we feel lost, where there are dark places in our lives, would we know that you are running to those places? And in that place, you are going to reveal joy. Thank you that you are a God of grace. Thank you that you are a good shepherd. Amen.